When I'm not hosting this podcast, I am writing books, but it is really hard for me to write when I'm at home, so I like to find remote cabins in the middle of nowhere to just hang out and write. But I hate the idea of my house just sitting empty, doing nothing but collecting dust and definitely not collecting checks. And that's why I'm an Airbnb host. It's one of my all-time favorite side hustles. Other popular side hustles are awesome too, don't get me wrong, but they often involve big startup costs. By hosting your space, you're monetizing what you already have access to. It doesn't get easier than that. And if you're new to the side hustle game and you're anxious about getting started, don't worry because you're not in this alone. Airbnb makes it super easy to host. I mean, if I could do it, you could do it. And your home might be worth a lot more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. I'm Nicole Lappin, the only financial expert you don't need a dictionary to understand. It's time for some money rehab. I know you just loved the first part of my episode with Brian Kelly, aka The Points Guy, last week. In that episode, he told me all of his favorite credit cards for all sorts of perks like travel, cash back, and more. If you missed that one, definitely go back and check it out. My conversation with him was so good, as it always is, so I split it into two parts. Today, you're going to be hearing about the up-and-coming travel destinations that Brian says are still affordable, how he got dual residency abroad, and the travel etiquette questions you have always wanted answered, but were too afraid to ask. Here he is. Brian freaking Kelly, welcome back to Money Rehab.
It's good to be back. How are you doing, fellow Pisces?
Not only Pisces, but birthday twinsies.
What are the odds?
How many other March 7th people do you know?
I don't know that many, actually, and I don't think there are that many big celebrities. Besides us, of course.
Besides us, I was going to say. I mean, it's a special bond.
It really is.
We know each other, but because we share the same birthday, I feel brother-sisterly love.
We share a lot of the same outlooks on life as well.
Well, we have to talk about some deals. You did an epic trip for your birthday this year. You're 1 year ahead of me. I would love to follow in those footsteps. Tell me what you did.
Last year for my 40th, I threw a rager in Lisbon, Portugal. It's one of my favorite cities. And funny enough, one of my money moves during the pandemic was to invest in a hotel in Porto. I got the Portuguese Golden Visa. So I have to spend 1 week in Portugal every year. Ooh-hoo, what a hard thing to do.
I'm so sad for you.
After 5 years, I'm able to get Portuguese citizenship. So last year, I threw this big party in Lisbon. It was a lot of fun, but still emotionally and financially drained from it. So this year I was like, I'm going solo, well, with my son, my cute 18-month-old baby, and his nanny, and we went to the Maldives. So my 41st birthday was on the beach. I had a little dinner with my son, and we watched The Little Mermaid.
I love that.
It was really special.
And since the last time you came on the show, you became a father. So congratulations, Mazel Tov.
Thank you. It has been the best, most epic journey of my life. And Dean has now been to 14 countries in 17 months. So it is not easy. It's not cheap either. People think babies fly free. They actually only fly free domestically. When you fly internationally, you have to pay 10% of the full fare cost. So when I took him to Tokyo, that was $2,300 for him to sit on my lap.
Oh my God.
That's an extreme example, but it still could be easily hundreds or $1,000 if you're flying using points in business class. So there are certain frequent flyer programs like Aeroplan that charge a flat $20 to bring your infant on any international flight, which is wildly generous. So any of the new parents out there, don't sleep on Aeroplan. They're a transfer partner of most of the credit card transfer programs.
So if you use points, you used points for your business class ticket, you paid 10% of what the actual fare would be in cash?
This is the tricky part. So when you buy a ticket, they'll just charge 10% of what you paid. So most of the time, you're not buying full fare. You're getting discounted. So the 10% is reasonable usually. But when you use award miles, there's no price on the ticket. And they don't just pull in what Google Flights is showing. They have a list of full fare rates, which can be astronomical. However, you can always ask them to reprice the ticket at that day's fare. So if they give you some outrageous number for your infant, you can say, hey, the actual fare is half of that showing on your website right now. And sometimes they can send it to the pricing department and price it at that lower rate. One of my favorite rules in travel in general is it never hurts to ask. So always ask for a lower price.
The worst thing they can say is no. You also talked about what it was like to be gay in the Maldives, right?
Yeah, you know, and I get it. A lot of LGBTQ travelers are not comfortable. And my advice is, and don't go anywhere you're going to think you're uncomfortable. I like to just be honest about the experiences. If you go to a Marriott, Hilton, Hyatt resort in the Maldives, yes, it's a part of a Muslim country that is technically under Sharia law. But the reality is, I mean, there were same-sex couples holding hands. There's alcohol. It's not the same as being on the capital of Mali. I'm not trying to represent life on the main island. I don't speak for anyone else's existence. I just speak about my travels. The fact is, you can go on your honeymoon if you're gay to these resorts and you will not have to hide who you are. You're not going to have them trying to put you in two twin beds. These resorts, A, they're all run by LGBTQ people. And I get why people want to hold countries to high standards, but I also would encourage people to like look at our own country. Like the US is far from perfect. So for us to be on a moral high ground making judgments, I would encourage people to get out there and travel, because even if you go to a country that maybe doesn't reflect your values, travel is about the people. Just like half our country or most of our country doesn't want to be represented by our current or past president. We're more than that.
Yeah, Brian. Go meet people. We're all people.
Exactly. The more you travel and meet actual locals, the Maldivian staff members at all the resorts could not have loved Dean more. There was no discrimination. They all knew I was gay. Single dad, culturally, that is a shock. There are no gay single parents, I'm sure, in the country of Maldives. Well, maybe, but I didn't feel judgment. I didn't feel anything. I was completely embraced. So that's the part of travel. Yes, their constitution, there might be archaic laws that could stone me or something, but reality is that's not something tourists have to deal with when traveling. And yes, that is privilege. I'm not saying it's not, but that's the reality.
But also don't bring drugs to a Muslim country.
Or any country for that matter.
Right, sure.
And that's a good point because, you know, in the US, we're so used to our THC oils, even your prescription medicines. I was in Japan and I had a friend who had Adderall, which is not allowed. And Adderall, if you're on ADHD medications in a lot of countries, is a big offense. Now, most countries, if you actually are prescribed it, you're probably going to get a pass. But I recommend, especially traveling to the Middle East, you can Google stories of people bringing in pain medications for their back surgery. You can end up in a lot of trouble. There was even someone who had to go to the hospital for something unrelated, and they drug tested him in the UAE while he was in the hospital for something unrelated, and he got in trouble. So you definitely do not want to be smuggling and locked up abroad.
Wow, that's a really good point. And that doesn't get as much attention as it probably should. I remember going to Bali and my lawyer was like, hey, so if you have any gummies, or definitely just be extra, extra careful about all of that. And then on the little jumper planes, you see punishable by firing squad,
yeah,
or something fucking crazy.
You don't want to mess with it.
Okay. Also, every time I get on a plane and I see your logo, my heart is so happy. When did that happen?
I think 5 years ago. It was pre-pandemic. At the Points Guy, we have yearly awards, and Delta consistently wins our Reader Choice Awards for best, they're on time, customer service. So they reached out, hey, we want to put your seal with all the other Fortune, best companies, Forbes. And I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. So that's on all 900 Delta mainline jets. You'll see the Points Guy logo. So
I love it so much. I've been a long time Delta girly since I was at CNN in Atlanta. I had to be. I know my Sky Miles number by heart. I will not cheat. I do think that they're still the best, and I have all the credit cards.
Last year, Delta was in hot water with a lot of travelers because they made pretty drastic increases to their elite qualifying, the lounges. What's your take on that as a frequent flyer? Because a certain portion of flyers loved it because, frankly, the herd does need to be thin. Those lounges are crowded.
I have so many miles, it's embarrassing. And the ones that you can't get through points, but you have to have your ass on the seat to actually get whatever diamond, this, that, million miler. You know, I'm not super proud of it, honestly, Brian. When they're like, congratulations, thank you so much for being a triple diamond, whatever, whatever. I don't know. I've spent so much time on a plane. Is that a thank you or is that an embarrassing thing? It's maybe a little bit of both.
Oh, it's a badge of honor, you know.
For you, yes. But I agree. Ultimately.
I think post-pandemic, I still travel now, but I'm very particular. The rat race, and luckily corporate travel-wise, I don't have nearly as much of that, you know, just having to go to corporate meetings with Monday to Wednesday grind. That travel is exhausting. So I don't miss having to do that. You couldn't pay me enough elite qualifying miles, you know, especially after becoming a father, where I'm like, the opportunity cost of missing my son before bed is too high. I couldn't care about collecting some more elite miles for this vanity metric.
So why do you think Delta is the best? Why does it always get the awards from the team?
Well, I think historically Delta cares. So if your bag's delayed with Delta, they'll give you miles proactively. You don't even have to ask. If your flight's delayed, Delta's going to text message you, "Sorry about our delay. We take responsibility." So I think Delta has a customer first sort of approach, and they also take care of their employees. Delta has really rich profit sharing. They honor their employees a lot. So when you fly Delta, yes, there still might be some disgruntled employees, but not nearly like any of the other major US airlines. So I think their corporate approach to taking care of employees, having customer first policies that might be expensive in the short term, like giving out that mileage compensation, they actually have to pay for that. I think that pays off with all of these awards. They build long-term loyalty and then they charge a premium. So I think Delta's really smart. We'll give away some chips up front because no one else is. And then in the long term, people will be so bonded to us, they'll pay 20% premium to fly us over another carrier.
That's definitely happened. And they give you those little cards to give out to exceptional employees to give them miles or something like that.
You know, we all complain when the flights are delayed, we hate the airline, this employee was mean. But when you have those good employees, I please urge you, get their name and just send a comment on the website. Often after your flight, the airlines will send you, "Hey, how was the flight?" Take 30 seconds and put that employee's name that touched your day. We can't just complain when things go wrong. Really highlight good service when it's warranted.
Yeah, that's like a good travel karma for everyone.
It's karma points, and I do believe in travel karma. So build your travel karma points when you can.
I feel like lately, too, there's been a rise of people videotaping shenanigans on flights. Should we just stop?
Yes.
Everybody pulls out their phone ASAP.
I think people have always misbehaved on planes, obviously with smartphones and social media. I think that peaked a lot during the pandemic. I mean, there's still plenty of misbehaving people, but I don't know. I travel quite a bit and I don't really see it. So certainly, and we can talk about the Boeing situation because it is concerning.
Hold on to your wallets. Money Rehab will be right back. Money Rehabbers, you have money hidden in your house. Yeah, just hiding there in plain sight. Okay, so I don't mean you have gold bars hidden somewhere in walls, treasure map style, but you do have a money-making opportunity that you're just leaving on the table if you're not hosting on Airbnb. It's one of my all-time favorite side hustles. By hosting your space, you are monetizing what you already own. It doesn't get easier than that. For me, hosting on Airbnb has always been a no-brainer. When I first signed up, I remember thinking to myself, "Self, you pay a lot of money for your house. It is time that house returned the favor." And to get real with you for a sec, I felt so much guilt before treating myself on vacation because traveling can be so expensive. But since hosting on Airbnb, I feel zero stress for treating myself to a much-needed vacation because having Airbnb guests stay at my house when I'm traveling helps offset the cost of my travel. So it's such a win-win. I mean, if I could do it, you could do it. And your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. And now for some more Money Rehab. Yeah, so the disaster, just for anyone who didn't know, it started in January. There was a door that fell off a jetliner mid-flight. And then another one, there was a tire that fell off shortly after takeoff. And then a Boeing engine caught on fire 20 minutes after takeoff. And the FAA examined Boeing and it found it failed 33 of 89 audits.
And, you know, Boeing has not been forthcoming. With that incident, it wasn't a door that fell out. It was basically a plugged window where an emergency door could go. And in the investigation, Boeing has been dragging their feet and not providing information, and information's lost. There are deep problems at Boeing. Beyond the safety side, their production is many years behind. Boeing needs a drastic change in course. Unfortunately for travelers, people will ask, "Well, can I avoid all Boeing planes?" But they're everywhere. I flew a 737 MAX 9 when I went to the Maldives, and I got on the plane. I didn't think twice because the fact of the matter is, air travel is actually so all of these incidents seem concerning if you're looking at them one after another, but these things actually do happen all the time. Plane engines blow out, and every single plane can fly with one engine. So it's really not a huge risk, and things fall off planes. You know, they're not perfect, but there usually are enough redundancies. And even in all these incidents, no one got hurt, thank God. And the planes all were able to land safely. So I think it actually speaks to modern aviation is as safe as ever. You know, I know a lot of people have a fear of flying. Do not be afraid to fly. There's no aircraft today that truly is more dangerous than getting in your car to go to the airport. You are many, 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 many more times likely to get injured or killed on the roads with people who could be drinking. They're unregulated. We all see those crazy drivers. In aviation, even though these incidents are happening, there's still so many controls in place to make sure it's safe. And the numbers prove that. Flying has never been safer.
Yeah, I remember there was this one story from, it was this big Wall Street firm. They were raising money basically in the Middle East, and they were on a private plane that had two engines. And the pilot comes back. So we have two pieces of news to share. Good news or bad news? And there's two pieces of bad news, but one's worse. First, one of the engines blew out. Second, we're over Iran. And so it was a bunch of Jewish guys. We can fly with one engine, but the protocol is you have to land at the next place. And so they got a big bottle and they just drank and waited till they were over Iran. Long story long to say you can fly with one engine. And these things are highlighted for sure. Is there any way to know, though, when you're booking a flight, whether it's going to be a Boeing plane or not?
Most airlines have details. Just click the details when you're traveling New York to LA. There's a ton of different options. And I actually say the 737-800 is different than the 737-8 MAX. MAX planes, those are the ones that were involved in a bunch of plane crashes and now the store incident. So do you want to avoid MAXes? I guess you could. Once again, if you just look at the statistics, it doesn't really make much of a difference. But if it makes you feel better, and actually Airbus planes, even in economy, generally have an inch more width in their seats. Generally, Airbus are nicer aircraft, in my opinion.
The French finance minister also said that he prefers flying Airbus over Boeing now. I mean, are people really checking? I don't think so.
And at the end of the day, people want cheap flights. People want the flight that's going to leave at the time convenient. So even after all these catastrophes, people don't really change their habits that much. If it makes you feel better, but I don't recommend people spending money to switch their flight if they're booked on one of these aircraft. You're not really increasing your chances of survival. You're going to be fine.
All right. So ultimately, we're going to book flights based on prices and deals. So let's talk about some deals, Brian. I can't have you on the show without it. Spring break is over, which means we're entering shoulder season. Tell me what that is. And does that mean cheaper airfare?
Shoulder season, a lot of people have kids, spring break schedules. You're not flexible with travel. But for those who are flexible, that's how you get deals these days. There'll be travel experts saying, book on a Sunday, fly on a Wednesday. But the fact of the matter is, it's being flexible. So going to Europe this summer, June, July, August, airfares up to 50% higher than April and May. May starts to get towards the back half peak pricing. But honestly, April and September, October are the nicest months to go to Europe. And let me remind you too, because I was in Florence last June when it was almost 100 degrees. There's no air conditioning. I was going to a wedding, just soaked, drenched, couldn't cool off. And then it's like hotels are astronomical. So the European summer vacation's going to be as busy as ever. But if you have flexibility going April to Paris, it's beautiful weather. You're not going to get scorched. And I'll say this, with finding the best flight deals. So Google Flights is my favorite search tool. Most travel experts will say start there. But there's a little feature called Explore. So when you go to Google Flights, click the Explore button. And what that will let you do is put in your home airport. So say you're LA and I want to go to Europe for 1 week in May. It'll actually reverse engineer and show you all the flights to Europe from LA in May, or you can say this week or just week long weekend trips. And what I tell people is just book the cheapest flights. And you can also, and I recommend these days, especially booking multiple connections to save a little bit on airfare is a fool's errand because you're going to canceled flight, you're going to miss a day of your trip. So as my dad always said, cheap is expensive. If you do book a connection, please promise me it'll be over 2 hours, even domestic these days, because you're going to be delayed, you're going to be running. And if it's a tight connection, your bag's not making it. So, but Google Flights Explore Map, you can even put in you want to go to the Caribbean during certain times. So snip out the best deals and then choose a destination. And in Europe, it's so cheap by train or low-cost carriers to get around. So get to the continent, buy the cheapest flights, and then kind of plan your trip around that. That's how you save the most money.
Are there up-and-coming destinations for international travel that are still cheap, other hidden gems?
Luckily, the U.S. dollar is still really strong. And, you know, in terms of Europe, Albania is on the rise. There's a great Riviera party scene.
It's like Croatia of 2020.
Yeah, exactly. I went to Croatia in 2020. It was the only country to go. And Puerto Rico is a great value destination, especially if you don't have a passport, you don't have to deal with immigration. So for quick weekend trips, I love Puerto Rico. And Central America, your dollar goes so far. Colombia, Cartagena is a great weekend destination, really reasonable hotels. Costa Rica, some parts of Costa Rica can be really expensive, but there are really good deals out there. And if you don't want to go to Europe, but you want to get the European flair, going to Quebec or Montreal, especially in the summer, the temperatures are much, they can get really hot, but are a little bit more mild than, say, the East Coast of the US.
And what are some juicy deals right now as far as airfare, all-inclusives, cruises?
All-inclusives are really up and coming. All the major hotel brands are buying all-inclusive chains, so you can now redeem. You know, Hyatt has the Ziva collection. So you can actually now redeem your points at all-inclusives, which is great for families when, you know, my brother has five kids and he's going to Cancun. It's hard to budget when you have so many unknown costs. And so the beauty of all-inclusives is that, you know, it's all included for the most part, and it's great for budgeting. And there's a lot of more upscale all-inclusives. I'm not personally an all-inclusive person. That might change when my son's a little bit older, but Cancun is still just a hot spot. There are new hotels. The St. Regis just opened up there, the Edition. So there's high-end hotels.
High-end hotels are also going in the cruise game too.
Yes, the Ritz-Carlton yacht experience. I haven't been on it. It looks really nice. Four Seasons is launching. I did an expedition cruise to Greenland last September, which was spectacular. I'm all about going on smaller ships. I think there were only 70 staterooms, so it felt more like a big yacht. It was also fun. I went with Martha Stewart, who's a friend. So traveling with Martha Stewart to Greenland was sort of a bucket list experience. She's fierce. And yeah, Antarctica is a really top expedition. I haven't done it. Have you ever done Antarctica?
My girlfriend just came back and she said she got a sick, crazy deal. She spent $5,000, but it was a whole thing to get down there through Argentina and through the Drake.
The Drake, yeah, that's no joke. If you don't like rocking, that's not for you.
Yeah, but I've heard that there are some insane deals. Go see some penguins. I interrupted you when I asked about the cruise, but were you saying for all-inclusives, also Google is your favorite?
I actually love hotels.com. And if you book with them, they have their VIP program and you get 20, 22% off. So they changed their loyalty program last year and people were kind of up in arms about it because you used to earn basically a 10% rebate when you redeem.
Like one night for every 10.
But what they retooled the program is you get, I don't know, 6% at most, but you get now 20% at their VIP hotels. And it's truly a discount. I price check always against the hotel's cost. Hotels.com has incredible. You're actually saving 20%. Plus, you still earn the one key cash and you earn for putting on a credit card. If you don't care about hotel elite status, I recommend looking through OTAs just to price search for the absolute cheapest rates.
What's OTA?
Online travel agencies like the hotels.com, the Expedias of the world. But hotels.com is definitely my, they have almost every hotel and they're also linked with Vrbo. You know, Airbnb is great, but Vrbo has a lot more higher end properties. If you want to rent the entire house, that's managed by a property management network. I feel like Vrbo, VRBO.com, vacation rentals by owner. And you can now earn the same currency in Vrbo as you can through hotels.com and Expedia. So it's like one big loyalty program.
Brian, we end our episodes by asking all of our guests for a tip listeners can take straight to the bank. You are a wealth of tips and you've given so many, but one bonus travel tip that listeners can use today?
Ooh, that's a really good question. In general, transfer your bank points to partners. When you redeem for flights through Amex, you're getting 1 cent per point. But if you transfer to partners like Aeroplan or Air France, you can go to the US, to Europe, Air France business class for as low as 50,000 points one way. So just say to yourself, would you rather have a $500 flight, which might get you economy, or fly business class? So the transfer partners, it's a little bit of a complicated game, but most of those transfers go through instantly. So when you learn how to search for award tickets, and there's a new partnership with Amex with point.me, which is the Google flights for award search. So it makes it really easy to see which transfer partner has award availability for the days you want to travel. So transfer in general, don't book flights through the credit card portal.
And use your points.
Use your points.
It's the nice champagne or the nice china or whatever. Use it. Today is as good a day as any. Every day is a celebration.
Well, every month they raise the amount of points needed. So get the value off the table today. and certainly don't let them expire. Save that money, go to a nice meal on your trip, don't feel as guilty about it, or even invest that money. You know, use your points, take all that money you would have spent and put it in the markets. You know more than anyone what that compounded interest is going to be. So bottom line, my final note, treat your points and miles like a currency, because they're not just a coupon or some weird thing. It's truly huge amounts of value that can help your personal bottom line.
You earned it.
Amen.
Money Rehab is a production of Money News Network. I'm your host, Nicole Lappin. Money Rehab's executive producer is Morgan Lavoie. Our researcher is Emily Holmes. Do you need some money rehab? And let's be honest, we all do.